Woo! Are you not excited? Amen. Amen. That was some good word. So God's been doing some really amazing things in my life. And I've known since the first time I stepped in those doors that I was going to share this with you. God actually brought me to this church to share this with you. And I've prayed many hours for each one of you that are sitting here. God wants you here for a reason, and he wants you to hear this for a reason. Amen. And I believe that with all of my being. Amen. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you just bow your heads, I'm going to go into a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, I pray that you would remove all distractions from me, God. Father, I pray that you would set aside my mind, Lord, that you would control my tongue, Father, and that you would control my excitement for you, Father. It's not nerves, God, it's excitement. Father, control it and make it yours. Make it your tool, Father. Make me the instrument in your hand, Father, to just share with these people what you want. God, just touch me and use me, Lord. All these things I ask in your name, amen. So this is my life. Part one, that is. I'm going to ask a few things of you. As you can tell, I'm out of my comfort zone. So I figure you might as well be, too. I'm going to ask you to open up your heart and allow God to work. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. So I'm going to ask you that you would just do that. And I pray that if he's talking to your heart, you'll open up and you'll accept what he's trying to tell you. Some of you might ask why I can stand here before you and so boldly share some very painful parts of my life. Well, it's quite simple. As we've learned, I'm forgiven.
Amen.
I can share with you every heartache and every trial and every ounce of pain in my being because it's all forgotten. He's taken it all away from me. And I stand before you not because I'm perfect or sinless. I stand before you because I am forgiven.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about all the times that he's wiped the slate clean for me. There's been times in my life where I'm so unworthy. And yet he still is there, and he's there to wipe it clean for you. Of course, as many of you know, growing up, I had a perfect childhood. I have the most amazing parents, the most beautiful sister. I have the most caring family that anyone could dream of. We did have our struggles. Who got to use the hairdryer first? Who got to shower first? But there was always lots of love. Mom and Daddy always made sure of that. We never lacked for love. So my childhood was great, and I don't have any horror stories to tell you about. But as I began to approach high school, I suddenly began to realize that I was different. See, this is when God really started to work on my life. But while God was trying to pull me in closer, Satan began to pull just as hard the other way. He was threatened. He started to whisper in my ear, "You're not pretty enough. You're not popular enough. You're not thin enough. You're just not good enough." The tragic part is that I gave validation to those whispers. I started to not only hear, but listen to what Satan was saying. And that's when the suicidal thoughts came in. Suddenly, those dark thoughts became an option. They became an option, a permanent solution to my temporary bumps in the road. Satan wanted rid of me. He was scared. Isn't it interesting how he knows our weaknesses? And he always knows best how to exploit them, always. Well, this is what happened. The harder I tried to run, the more he'd trip me. If only I'd cried out to my Savior, he would have come, but I didn't. So I graduate high school, and I marry my best friend. I continue to try and run from Satan, thinking that marriage will solve all my problems. Young love for you. because this man was my best friend, and I thought I was happy. I was happy when we were together, and I was happy living the dream. But remember, all the while, I'm still running from Satan and not consulting God in any way. I did the whole church thing. I went to church, and I sat in a pew, and I said a prayer, and then I walked out the doors to live my life. I was all about religion, but I was neglecting my relationship with God. Amen. There's a big difference.
Yep.
We'd been trying to have a family for about a year, so we decided that we'd chat with the doctors. So at 21, I learned that I would never have children. I learned that I would have to deal with numerous health problems for the rest of my life. Devastation doesn't even begin to describe that. So my dreams of having a family were completely gone. And I was devastated while we tried numerous rounds of fertility that didn't work. My heart ached for a child. I remember lying in bed every night, praying and pleading to God to give me the one desire that my heart had. The desire was so strong I couldn't get rid of it. I now know that that was God's desire put in there. I would cry out to God in utter desperation, just begging him, pleading with him, promising I would be happy if he gave me a child. I couldn't understand why he wouldn't give me the one thing I wanted most in life. So, being the brilliant people we are, we decided that we could buy our happiness. Yep. We began to live way outside of our means. Lots of shopping, lots of splurging, tons of calories. New cars, and we plunged into debt, seeking the happiness of this world. Soon enough, this became more than our marriage can handle. We were in over our head in the pit of debt. We were unhappy. He was unemployed. I was working 3 jobs, about 90 hours a week, to try and keep a sinking ship afloat. All of this time, never consulting God. In fact, at this point, I was running as far away from God as I possibly could, as fast as my body would take me. The next thing you know, I'm looking in a mirror. I don't recognize the person that I'm staring at. I saw a rundown person overtaken by depression, unhappiness, bitterness, and jealousy. But here's a side note. I was still standing there. God hadn't given up on me. I didn't look at those temporary options and make them permanent. I was out of options for saving my marriage. I ended up losing almost all my worldly possessions, our house, both of our cars, and eventually I lost my husband. He turned away from our marriage, and I turned to work. We thought that if we could keep ourselves busy with the worldly distractions, I could find happiness. I really, truly believe that. So we separated, and I took almost a year to decide to actually sign the divorce papers. I struggled so hard in giving up on the vows that I had made to my husband before my God and before my family and friends. Those are sacred vows. You don't give up on those lightly. That was such a dark time in my life. I remember feeling relief from the responsibility of acting like it was all okay. It was the first time that a lot of my friends even knew I was hurting, which is why I'm up here, because I know a lot of you are hurting. That's why I'm bold enough to stand here before you, because I know you're hurting and a lot of you don't even know it. My family, of course, had known for quite a while, and little did I know I was causing them pain. So I find myself living in a studio apartment. Oh my goodness, those things are small. I'm still living, but I'd lost most of my worldly possessions, so it didn't really matter. I'm still living way outside my financial ability. I'm driving a car that's not reliable. In fact, I didn't want to take it very far out of town because I was afraid I'd have to call Dad for help, which I later learned he had the same concerns. Then one day, a dear friend of mine invited me to church. She didn't invite me to a building. She didn't invite me to an altar. She just invited me to church. And that's whenever I found the difference between religion and relationship. I found that having a relationship with God can be one of the most sweetest, most tender, and life-changing relationships you can ever have. Ever. Nothing will come close to it. What I learned during this time was that I had to forgive. I had to forgive those in my life, and I had to forgive myself. And I truly understood something for the very first time in my life. It took losing what I thought was everything, those worldly possessions, that car, that house, even that husband, to realize that I had nothing. I didn't have a relationship with my Savior. I had nothing. So you might be asking yourself, what can I take from her testimony? I'm not married. I don't have suicidal thoughts. I don't struggle with depression. Well, I've got a song I'm going to share with you in just a moment. It's called Carried to the Table by Leland. When I started preparing my testimony, God gave me three songs. This is the first one. So there are two more parts to this testimony. But for just a second, I want you guys to take a look up here at this altar. And I want you to imagine a table running from wall to wall. At this table, there's an infinite amount of seats. Tons of seating. This is the table that God's prepared for you. He sent his son to die. He shed his blood for you. He wants you to feast at this table. At this table, you'll find strength, maybe to do what I'm doing. You'll find nourishment. You'll find anything that you need to live a life in Christ. I'm proof. I hit a deer last night. He will protect you. This is where he wants you to come. This is his table. He knew that you would be sitting here the day you were born. He knew you'd be sitting right here at this moment. So you might ask, how do I get to sit at this table? We're so unworthy, but how do we have that right? Well, it's quite simple. You ask him to carry you there. For some of you, this might be the first conversation that you have ever had with my Savior. For some of you, in that first conversation, you need to ask him to come into your heart. You need him to save your soul. That's what this table's for. Some of you may just need to be carried back to the table. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you haven't eaten at this table. You haven't feasted here in a long time. Maybe you need to come. Some of you may not even have noticed it, but you may be running just like I was. You may be running as far away from this table as possible. So let me just invite you to stop where you're at. Stop in your tracks. Simply call out to him. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, he just wants to carry you to his table. Amen. That's all he wants. Amen. He may not ask you to do this. But what I've learned is that if you will desire his will, it's amazing the things that you can do. Won't you do that? Won't you put aside all the distractions and all the judgments? Your neighbor sitting next to you, won't you put away all those worries, all those concerns? Will you come and let the Lord love on you? Will you let him drench your soul? Are you going to continue to allow distance between you and your Savior because of this world? He is here. I can feel him. Trust me, I can. He is here, and he desires to know you intimately. He doesn't just want to know you on Sunday mornings. He wants to know you in the pit of your running. He wants to know you when you're at your weakest. He desires a relationship with you, not a religion, not a Sunday morning set in the pew. Whew, I could go on forever there. So come and let his grace pour over you, folks. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the time. Put aside your hunger pains, because your flesh is hungry, but your soul needs to thirst. Your soul needs to be so hungry for him that you can't sit in those seats any longer. Give him the chance to overwhelm you. So my prayer, and my prayer has been for months, that as this song begins to play, you will allow him to carry you to this table, to this huge table up here. Come and feast. I'll pray with you. Melvin's here. He'll pray with you. If you don't want prayer, that's fine. Just come and get alone with God. Just come and bow before him. Because someday, you're going to stand in front of him. And I can't wait to kiss his feet. I'm going to be the crazy lady down at his feet, kissing him. Nobody's going to be able to pull me away. I cannot wait for that day. So as they start this song, I pray that you'll come and allow God to work on you. Come and feast.